verse 12. Now, if you remember last week, we looked at the new covenant, which was announced in the story of God. So we're looking in this, in these coming few weeks, we're going to be looking at that era of time, that period of time in biblical history of the exile, and really the prophets who spoke into that time. So in the middle of your Bible, just after the book of Psalms and Proverbs, you'll find a whole load of books which are labeled by the names of the prophets. So we've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then a whole load of other ones, which, if I'm honest, I can never remember the order of them because I'm not very good at remembering things like that. But anyway, so we're looking at Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 12. It's just one verse which spoke to me this week. And it really sums up, I think, the new covenant in a way. It says this: Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Another translation of that second part of the verse is, for you have indeed done for us all our works. Another translation says, for indeed, all that we have done, you have done for us. There may be some of our young folk who are studying and revising for exams that may think, this is a great verse for me. Everything that I've done, actually you do, so I'm just going to let God do it. Not quite that, but it's a new covenant statement. It's a promise that God is doing the things that we do for us. Try and get your head around that. The things that we do, God does for us. Meaning, it's not our work that brings about salvation, it's God's work. It's not our effort that brings about the kingdom, it's God's work. All that we have done, you have done for us. All that we've accomplished, you have done. All our works, you have done. Everything lasting, everything eternal, every achievement, every victory, every work, God is doing for us. And so that's why we can sing, yet not I, but Christ in me. But through Christ in me, sorry. And that's a message that's very different to the way the world works. And which is described, the Bible's very good at mirroring how the world is. If you go back to Genesis 11, they built a tower. They thought, we're going to build a tower because we're going to make a name for ourselves. Their strength. That's what the world says. You do it. You build your own kingdom. But in Genesis chapter 12, God says the opposite. He says to Abraham, I'll make your name great. I'm going to do it. God says, I will do it. The world says, make a name for yourself. You do it. But God says, I will do it. Thing is, though, we all follow the way of the world in one way or another. We all strive to accomplish things and gain things and strive for significance and do something worthwhile with our lives. We gain qualifications. I was with my good school friends the other night at the pub. I always brag that I have GCSE PE grade C. They both got D's. I was not predicted a C. I was predicted less than a C. I managed to pull it out of the bag and they didn't. And so for the last 35 years, they have never lived it down. But so I can brag in that qualification. You can tell I'm a GCSE grade C kind of guy, PE, right? Yeah. You don't even know what that means, grade C. It's probably a 4 or something like that. We gain qualifications, we gain knowledge. Hopefully we get a bit of wisdom along the way. We gain some kind of value. And then we start writing a CV of our achievements, because people need to see a CV. If anyone, remember Job Club, when we used to do Job Club, if anyone needs to apply for a job, you need a CV. Which means we list the things that we've achieved and the qualifications we've got, so that people can have confidence that this person's all right, what they're doing. And I've got a musician's CV, actually. Some of the things you know. I've actually played for the Queen twice. Yeah, I have. I didn't meet her, no. She saw me from a distance and smiled. Probably thinking, he's at a distance, that's good. But you know, I've played for the English National Opera when I was at university. I played for the Philharmonia, London Sinfonietta, London Jazz Orchestra. I was at the Dome on Millennium and Eve when they opened the Dome. Disaster that was. Not because we were there, but we played in the entranceway when Tony Blair was coming through and all the dignitaries were coming in. We were there playing with the grasshoppers there. Played at Ray Charles, played the same gig as him, yeah, in Cognac. Played on stage with Snarky Puppy. That means nothing to you, means everything to me. Okay, and I played for the Queen. Yeah, and these are the things I can brag about. That's what musicians do, you know, they sort of list all these things. My musical achievements, I've done this. Or I could say, God's done this for me. I could say I've done this, and that would be my pride saying, look at me, how great I am. Or I could say, God has done this for me, and I'm just so grateful. I was watching, there was a YouTube interview with a guy who's been the principal tuba player of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra for longer than I've been alive. I think he's been there forever. In fact, he was one of my early influences, just like inspirations. And he just, and he was, the lady said to him, what would you say? Because he's coming up to retirement age. And he just said, and he started crying, I'm just so grateful that I've had this opportunity. Wow. I mean, he's just an amazing, you know, everybody's like this guy, but he was just very, very humble. You know, there's many people that could have done this job and I got it. And I'm just so grateful that I got that. And that is the difference. You might have heard of Johann Sebastian Bach, J.S. Bach. Good, I'm glad you have. Some of you have. Sorry, did I meet him? Yeah, he died in 1750. I was a young lad. Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, he taught me a thing or two. Actually, in all seriousness, his music is one of the few things that is always on my music stand. He's probably one of the greatest composers ever. He wrote over 1,000 works. He was a master of harmony and counterpoint, and he's still studied today. I mean, you're studying Bach for GCSE, right? I did. Everyone always studies Bach because he's the master. But at the bottom of nearly all his manuscripts, he wrote the letters SDG. Mysterious. Stands for Soli Deo Gloria. Still mysterious unless you know Latin, which means glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. So Bach seemed to understand this verse in Isaiah 26, 12, because all of Bach's works, he recognized that they were God's works. This, I'm not going to take the credit for it, says Bach. I'm giving all the credit to God. And when you list his, I mean, some of his works are just, you may or may not know that the Bach, the B minor mass, the Brandenburg concertos, the Goldberg variations, the Toccata and Fugue in D minor, that one, that's Bach, you know, all of that he gave glory to God for, not his works, they were God's works through Bach. And to say that is, it's a radical letting go of the ownership of what we think is ours, really, because it'd be very easy to say, well, I did that. Look at what I've achieved. But saying, it's not me that's done it, God's done it through me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. So it takes the focus off the individual, doesn't it? And it's sort of like, actually, if we follow in Bach's footsteps, we're not actually looking at Bach and saying how amazing he is. We're just saying, thank you, God, for giving us somebody like Bach so we can enjoy his music. And that takes the focus off the individual. All that we've accomplished, you have done for us, it says in Isaiah. And that's been the story of God, really since the beginning, but definitely for the last 2,000 years. It's history could be spelt his story. It's what God does. And right from the beginning, though, people got it a little bit out of kilter. So you know of the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. There was another guy called Apollos. And it seems like they were starting to be treated as sort of celebrities. Sort of like, oh, yeah, isn't Paul amazing? Isn't Apollos amazing? Isn't Richard amazing? They would have said if I'd been there when I'd met Bach and a bit earlier. Thank you, Wendy. Yeah. But this is what they wrote. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. He says, what then is Apollos? And what then is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each his role, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. He who plants and he who waters are one in purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. You see, God gets the glory in that. It's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos. And so as we go through the last 2,000 years of church history, you can name all your old saints, Augustine, and Benedict, and Francis. Where's Reg knows his Catholics, saints, yeah. Actually, they weren't actually Catholic then, they were just saints, because there wasn't actually a Catholic, there was just the church. But anyway, let's not get into that. And you've got Luther and Calvin, because we're Protestants, we like to sort of acknowledge them. Mother Teresa, go back to the Catholics. Billy Graham, come back to the Protestants. You know, all of these names, they're great names, aren't they, in the history of the church? But yet, it's actually, they're just ordinary people. Ordinary people that God used, and he did their works through them. All that they accomplished, God did for them. And if you look at the last 100 or so years of church history here in Kings, there's some names. If you've not seen it, go outside the front door, and on the right as you go out, just out here, there's a little plaque on the wall. It has some names who laid the foundation stones, I think, for this building. And then you've got the history of, you've got Mr. Williams who started the church, and you've got some pastors, Gordon Wheatley, Brian Pickard, Jim Kennett, Nick Lugg, and then there's some famous names, the Watermans, if you go, the Sherretts. You probably even put the Blands in there. They've been here since nearly when Bark was born, actually. I think Keith got Bark to commission him a piece to sing here, the first solo he sang here at church. It's been here this long. But all that they accomplished, God did for them. This little church and this little town. You know, I mean, think about it. This, over many, many years, God has been at work through many people in this place. Changing lives. The Lord has done great things here. But it's all God's work. I've been here 20 of those years. Goodness. I stopped and thought, you know, when we did my 20th anniversary, I thought, this means I've preached about 1,000 sermons here. Yeah. Can you? Reg can remember nearly all of them, because he's got the notes for half of them. I've probably led about 5,000 songs with me and Emma, probably led about 5,000 songs. But all of those works God has done for us. And as a church, never forget that it's God that does the work. And if we read, if you want to, you don't have to turn there. Ephesians chapter 2 is a very famous bit from Ephesians chapter 2. It says this: "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." It's great. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It's almost like he'd read Isaiah 26, 12. Maybe he did. This is the gospel of grace. The gospel is, he's done it for us. Just in case we think we can boast, "Oh, look what I've achieved. I played for the Queen." You boast on my behalf. It was a great experience, and I thank God for it. But, yeah, not I, but through Christ in me. So know this, that each one of us is God's handiwork. Look around, we're each God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And you might think to yourself, "Oh dear, that sounds a bit heavy. I don't know whether I can do that." You probably can't. Actually, you can't. So don't panic. Because God has prepared them in advance for you to do. So it's just like they're ready and waiting for you to slip into them. And all it is to follow Christ and to walk in his ways and allow him to work through you. That's it. Simple. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It's a little bit to it, more to it than that in one sense. But it actually, in essence, it is very simple. The new covenant comes to us very simply. It is by God's grace we are saved. It's by God's grace that we can do anything. It's, as it says here, "All that we have accomplished, you've done for us." And just, I didn't I said I was going to preach on one verse in Isaiah. I didn't actually touch the first bit of it. And it says there, and he will establish peace for us. And I think that's, there's just so much stress in the world. Well, I've got to be this, I've got to do that. But actually, if we just allow God to do it, if we allow ourselves to be saved and not feel as though we have to make ourselves right before God, just allow God to save us, allow God to work through us, allow God to do the stuff, he'll ordain peace for us. It's God's work. It's good. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you've called us your people. You've saved us by grace. And that we can say we have peace because all the things that we have done, you've done for us. And so we give you thanks for all that you've done in our lives, in us and through us. We give you thanks for all you've done in the life of this church, in and through it. We give you thanks for all you've done through the last 2,000 years of Christian history, in and through your people. We give you thanks that this story goes beyond and way back, even hundreds of years before Christ, that you were working and you were doing all the things that were being done. And I want to pray for our young ones who are studying for exams now. As they're studying, as they put the effort in, let them know that you are working in them. Pray for again for Isabel as she heads off. She's going to be doing some stuff. But let her know your strength running through her as she goes to South America and the stuff that she does, you would do for her. I pray let us find an ease as we do these things. I pray for those of us who have jobs, maybe a tricky stuff that's going on in our lives, that's hard, things that we have to process. Lord, let us know that it's you that's carrying us. It's your grace that sustains us, that you are working in and through us. Yes, Lord. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. We're grateful for this, and we pray, seal us in this truth now in Jesus' name. Amen.